Welcome to this week's edition of Life in Our Time. The goal of our program is to present first-person accounts from people in the very center of the events that are impacting our culture today. A new and rapidly growing movement that is emerging on the north shore of our Mediterranean world is something now being called Christianity. This new religious faction originated in Palestine over a decade ago, when a Galilean preacher named Jesus proclaimed that he was the Christ, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. In fact, Jesus was soon executed for his heretical views, and at first these events were only of interest in the Jewish community. But in more recent times, this Jesus movement has acquired numerous followers in the wider world. The key person in the expansion of this movement is a controversial man named Paul. Our research has established that this Paul, who used to go by the name Saul, was once a militant Jew, vigorously opposed to this Jesus group. However, something dramatic happened in his life, and he is now referred to as Apostle Paul, and is the most conspicuous leader of this religious group, which now goes by the name Christian. Ordinarily, we would endeavor to interview this man Paul himself, but he is an elusive figure who is not easy to track down. He is always on the move and shows up in the most unexpected places. In fact, some reports suggest that he may actually be in jail somewhere. Consequently, as an alternative, we have arranged a series of interviews with people who have had close personal contact with Paul and his promotional activities on behalf of Christianity. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and I am your host on Life in Our Times, a program produced by the First Century News Network. Our guest on this first segment of this series on Paul and Christianity is a man named Jason. Some time ago, Paul paid a tumultuous visit to the city of Thessalonica, where he actually stayed in Jason's home. We have asked Jason to tell us what he knows about Paul and why he thinks Paul is attracting so much attention wherever he goes. His responses should prove very interesting. Listen closely now to what Jason has to tell us about Paul and Christianity. We take you now to Jason in Thessalonica.
Sorry. My name is Jason. As my name suggests, I'm a Greek, really. And, I'm one of those people who, came to believe in the faith that the Jews have, and then I began to worship with them in the synagogue, and they call us God-fearers. I'm not a Jew by birth, you see, and I'm kind of an adherent in the synagogue, but it is good to be in the fellowship of God's people there and to worship with them Sabbath by Sabbath. And a while back, word reached us that this man Paul, of whom we'd all heard something or other, various confusing stories, was going to perhaps pay a visit to us here in Thessalonica. And I was really curious, quite fascinated actually, because he has a reputation, you see. He's a Messianic Jew. He believes that the Messiah has come. And I was curious to hear a little bit more from him about how he how he understands that and why he believes that. And so when he and a young man named Silas actually arrived in town, I was pleased to see them. We learned they were only going to stay for a little while, so they were looking for a place to stay, and I thought, well, there was no reason why they couldn't stay at my place. And so I invited them to be my guests. And now let me tell you a little bit about the time they were here. You see, they weren't in Thessalonica for a very long time. They were only here for a month. But it was a busy time. Each Sabbath day, Paul went to the synagogue and taught, and he's a very, very effective teacher. I mean, people had all sorts of questions for him, because the point that Paul was making was that, you know, this man, Jesus, really fulfilled what the prophets had said about the coming Messiah. And some people were especially concerned about, you know, could it be true that the Messiah could be crucified? And actually then Paul helped us see from the scriptures that that was consistent with what the prophets had to say about the Messiah. Anyway, the result was that quite a few people not only listened, but were persuaded. As I said, he's an effective teacher, and he's very passionate when he teaches, and but very gentle too. And a lot of people came to believe. Quite a few of my fellow God-fearers believed in what he was saying. And yes, some of those who were born Jews also were persuaded that what Paul was saying was the truth. And there was a sense of thrill in knowing that the Messiah had come, and that we learned a lot about grace from Paul. And anyway, well, I guess I'm supposed to say something about the uproar here in Thessalonica. Well, there was an uproar, but I'm not quite sure what you've heard about it, but it wasn't exactly as some are telling the story. Because, in fact, you see, Paul didn't somehow incite a riot. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. What happened was that some in the synagogue were distressed that Paul was having such an impact, and they wanted him out. I guess I think they only wanted him out of town, but anyway, the way they went about it wasn't terribly glorious. They went and found a few people who were lingering around the marketplace with nothing to do, and who weren't above a little extra trouble. And they got them all together and fired them up and went looking for Paul and Silas. Well, that brought them to my place, because that's where Paul and Silas were staying. And now, as things worked out, Paul and Silas weren't there when they arrived. I don't know where they were, but they were out somewhere. But I was home. And that's what kind of got me in the middle of things. Because they came looking for Paul and Silas, and I think what they wanted to do was just to haul them out in the midst of the crowd and rough them up a bit and persuade them to leave Thessalonica. But anyway, when they couldn't find them, they were disgruntled, and so they laid hold on me and a couple of my friends and drug us off to the city officials with complaints. And the basic complaint was that we were harboring people in our home where I was, who were traitors. People who caused trouble other places and had come here to cause trouble too. And I know that there has often been trouble where Paul has been. But let me tell you, here it wasn't something Paul started. It was started by other people who resented him. And in fact, of course, Paul and Silas weren't even present for it. And anyway, what they were saying was that Paul was teaching that people should follow another king other than Caesar. Well, none of Paul's teaching had been political in nature. It was all about the Messiah, and yes, the Messiah is king, but not about unseating Caesar. You know, that I wouldn't have understood that argument until I heard Paul, but when I listened to Paul in the synagogue, and of course, since he was staying at my place, I had lots of time to ask him questions, you know, when we were sharing meals and so forth, so I probably had an advantage that others here in Thessalonica didn't have. And anyway, I understood because I had heard from Paul that that was the accusation, you see, that they made against Jesus in order to arrange for him to be crucified, that he was presenting himself as a king in opposition to the civil authority and to Caesar. Well, that wasn't a very strong argument in Jesus' day, and it's sure seems to me to be a lot weaker now because Jesus has been dead for a long time. So how is it seditious to celebrate the name of someone who's not alive anymore? Of course. We know about the resurrection. But the accusers don't believe in the resurrection. And so I can't understand why the argument that about naming Jesus as a king is in any way treasonous here in Thessalonica. Well, I think the city officials felt the same way after they'd heard the accusations, and the crowd mellowed out a bit. They didn't know exactly what to do with us, I don't think, but they made us post bond and sent us home. And that night, we had a little conference with Paul and Silas, and it was decided that since they weren't planning to stay in Thessalonica long term anyway, that it was probably an appropriate time for them to leave. Paul wasn't afraid of the uproar in the crowd, but he did understand that the opposition in Thessalonica was pretty strong. So that's what happened here in Thessalonica when Paul paid his visit. Now, I guess you figured out from this that, of course, I'm one of the ones that Paul persuaded that this man Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. And, yes, you know, there were a lot of people who believed. And I can tell you this, Thessalonica is never going to be quite the same again. Now, I know I'm not welcome back in the synagogue. Those who were in charge of the synagogue made it quite clear. But a lot of other people who had believed what Paul was saying about Jesus, feel the same way. They can't go back to the synagogue. And so we're in the process of, getting together for worship on our own. And we're kind of organizing a gathering of Christians here in Thessalonica. And there are quite a few of us. And the number's still growing. I'd attribute that to Paul's initial teaching, except some of them never heard Paul and have just heard these things from those who were influenced by Paul. And so I think that life in Thessalonica for some time to come is going to be quite different. I now call myself a Christian because that's the kind of label that goes with those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, I don't know where Paul is right at the moment. I can tell you this, though. Wherever he is, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus being the Messiah. And he's using his skill to make it clear from the scriptures that this is what the prophets proclaimed. And having seen the effectiveness of his teaching here, he'll be he'll be making converts or persuading people wherever he is. And yes, he is a bit of a controversial character, and yes, no doubt there will be opposition. But that's it. That's what happened in Thessalonica. There was a tumult, but Paul didn't start it. And yet, he had a transforming impact on our city. I'm glad I could tell my story. I'm Jason, just so you remember my name. I'm unaccustomed to this technical stuff. Never been interviewed before. Kind of like it. That's all for now.
Thank you, Jason, for that first-hand account of Paul's visit to Thessalonica. Jason is a new convert to this Christianity, which we are trying to explore and understand. This may have colored his perception a bit, but his statement about these events did seem coherent and sincere. Jason claimed that these events in Thessalonica, which some have labeled a riot, were a reaction to Paul's teaching in the synagogue, and were not directly provoked by Paul himself, but by his opponents. Jason denied that Paul was even present when the uproar occurred. Jason also declared that these accusations by Paul's opponents were really an attempt to bring down on Paul the wrath of the Roman authorities by suggesting that he was guilty of treason. Jason defended Paul by saying that his teachings were misconstrued by his opponents and that Paul's opinions were all about religion but had no political motivation at all. However, from the perspective of this series of programs, the one assertion made by Jason that may be the most significant of all is his assessment of Paul's impact on Thessalonica. Jason claims that the whole religious atmosphere of Thessalonica has been changed by Paul's time there. And if that is true, then Paul and Christianity really are having an impact on our culture today. So thank you, Jason, for sharing your perspective and getting our series started. This has been another episode of Life in Our Times. Please join us here on the First Century News Network next week when we continue our examination of Paul and Christianity. I'm Floyd Bobertson, and this has been another look at the kind of world we live in.